I mentioned earlier that when we talk about John, we often talk about John in those terms, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved disciple. And we saw that he refers to himself, as he does here in this passage, as the disciple whom Jesus loved. To be loved by someone is not a characteristic that that person has. When John says the disciple whom Jesus loved, he's not talking about John himself. When he talks like that and uses that language, it says more about the one who loves than the one who is loved. It says more about Jesus than it does about John. So what characteristic was it that John had that made him so special, that made him stand out, that made him the disciple whom Jesus loved? I think we'll find the answer by looking at his special mission. Go back to John chapter 19 if you turn from that. John 19 and look at verse 25. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Three things here. First, the setting. It's the time of the crucifixion. Jesus is on the cross. And his mother and a few other women are there at the foot of the cross, and John is there. As far as we know, he is the only one of all of the disciples who stood at the cross, who were brave enough to follow Jesus to the very end. And in the final minutes of his life, Jesus shows the extent of his compassion and his love for his mother. I want you to see, secondly, the concern of Jesus. His concern at that moment on the cross was for the welfare of his mother. Many Bible scholars believe that by this time in the life of Jesus, Joseph, Mary's husband, had died. We don't read about Joseph after the first few chapters of the gospel. He doesn't appear at the wedding at the Cana of Galilee, for example. He doesn't appear when Mary and Jesus' brothers come to take him away from his ministry because they think he's ruined himself. Many scholars believe that Joseph died an early death, and that's why Jesus here is concerned about his mother. As the eldest son in the family, it would have been his responsibility to care for his mother. And he knew that he would not be able to fulfill that responsibility. Not because he was going to die, but because he was going to live. And in living, he would be exalted to the right hand of God the Father. And so in his last breath of life, he carries on this brief conversation with Mary and with John. And he says, "Woman, behold your son." Now that sounds a bit harsh to us, a little disrespectful perhaps. When we're talking to our mothers, we don't say "woman." If we did, we'd pick ourselves up off the ground. But it wasn't disrespectful. Throughout the New Testament, you will find the words "man" and "woman" used in addressing someone many, many times. They were not meant to be disrespectful. Probably the closest we can come in English to this would be to say "sir" and "ma'am." Now, most of us We're not raised to address our parents that way, sir and ma'am. But in the past, that was often done. When I was growing up in grade school in California, I had a friend from Texas. My name was Steve, his name was Steve. We played together, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. And I'd never met anybody from Texas before. He sounded like he was from Texas. First time I heard somebody say, y'all. Steve had been raised to address his parents as sir and ma'am. Always. I think Texas was more polite than California. And that's what Jesus was doing. Woman, behold your... Ma'am, behold your son. And then he says to John, behold your mother. And the Bible says from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus had other brothers. Why not one of them? We don't know. They're not the cross. The best we can surmise is that they were not yet followers of Jesus. His brother James became a leader in the early church, but apparently at this moment in time, they did not believe he was the Messiah. And Jesus was concerned for his mother. Now here's why I have called John the trusted. You have to have real trust in someone to commit your mother to their care. There's just something especially about boys and their mothers. Boys, as they grow up to be men, are not going to commit the care of their mother just to anyone. Put yourself in Jesus' place for a moment. And I don't mean that blasphemously, but you're nearing the end of death. Let's put it that way. You are nearing the end of your life on earth, and you know that you are going to die. And before you die, you need to make arrangements for the care of your mother. You need to find someone who will take care of your mother in her old age. Who are you going to ask? I rather imagine that for many of the men here this morning, a name has already popped into your mind. And it was probably someone in whom you have a high degree of trust. You trust them more than you trust most people. And you trust them because they have earned your trust. Jesus had that kind of trust in John. John had earned his trust. He had followed Jesus for more than 3 years. Jesus had been able to watch John. He had seen what kind of character John had, what kind of a man John was. And in his final hour, he trusted John enough to entrust the care of his mother to the disciple John. And I would like to suggest to you that caring for Mary may have been the greatest ministry of John's life. As she grew older, to take care of her, to provide for her. Jesus turned her care over to someone he trusted. So let me bring this down to us today. I think the lesson for us today is that God uses people in his kingdom that he can trust. Trust is an interesting thing. I ran across an article. I want to share a little bit of it with you this morning. It's written by a well-known pastor. And he titled the article, Does God Trust You? Trust, he says, is dependability, a deep confidence in someone. We tend to trust people who are reliable, who are consistent and who don't change with the season or the wind direction. Ever think that maybe God is looking for people he can trust? Most of us spend a lot of time trying to figure out whether we think God is trustworthy. Maybe the question isn't whether we can trust God. Maybe the question is this: can God trust you? Then he goes on to talk about what he calls trust killers. He says trust killers include losing faith in God the minute circumstances don't go our way, putting ourselves at the center of our relationship with God rather than God at the center. In parentheses, what can I do for God rather than what can God do for me? A third one, keeping God at the periphery of our lives, not at the center. And he ended the article with this: have you ever thought that God might be looking to trust you? If so, how would you live differently as a result? And so let me ask this question: what would it take today for God to trust you? He's looking for people that he can use to build his kingdom, and those are people he can trust. And so what has to change in your life for God to trust you? How does your life have to change if God is going to put his trust in you? If Jesus was here today and he said, I need someone to care for my mother, would he choose you? Does he trust you enough to give you the care of his mother? Does he trust any of us enough this morning to let us build his kingdom? That's the real question. John the Trusted. Can we put our name there? Steve the Trusted. Jennifer the Trusted. Didn't mean to pick on you, Jennifer. You just happen to be the closest to me. Let me go back to Mother's Day as we wrap this up. The compassion and love that Jesus showed for his mother was, I think, second to none, unbelievable. I have an article in my office in a file that I've had for years and years. It was written by a Christian medical doctor back in the 1940s, maybe 1950s, describing death by crucifixion. It's not even something I would read in a church service. It is unbelievable. It is gruesome. Do you know that most of the criminals that Rome crucified never survived the beating? They died before they ever got to the cross. And Jesus, and all of that pain and all that agony that I can't even begin to describe for you, is concerned for his mother. Should be an example to all of us. Jesus showed us the importance of mothers. He showed us how we should care for our mothers. You see, I don't know what your mother was like. And it might be this difficult for you to celebrate Mother's Day because your mother wasn't warm and fuzzy. Your mother may have neglected you. Your mother may have given you up for adoption. Your mother may have not been the kind of woman you're proud of. But in some way that is difficult for us to understand, God put the right mother in each of our lives. The mother he chose for us. And he has trusted us with the responsibility to care for her in her old age. In exactly the same way that he trusted John to care for Mary. God is not only looking for people he can trust to build his kingdom, he's looking for people he can trust to care for their mothers. See, God needs to be able to trust us. And by the way, our mothers need to be able to trust us. One of the, perhaps the hardest thing that I have ever done in my life was to care for my mother the last 2 or 3 weeks of her life. I took her to her final doctor's appointment for her cancer. When the doctor told her, all the treatments are finished, we can't do any more for you, and gave her just weeks and days to live, I was with her when we had to call hospice. I was there and moved the hospital bed into the living room so that she could watch out the bay window and see the birds in the trees. I was the one who had to help her with the bedpan at the end of her life. And it was an experience that I did not relish, and nor do I wish it on anyone. It was difficult. But that's what God has asked us to do. God has asked us to honor our mothers, not just at the end of their lives, but every day of their lives. I find it just amazing that he trusted John that much. John, here is my most prized earthly possession, my mother. Take care of her, John. And that's the kind of person God is looking for to build his kingdom. He's looking for people he can trust. And so I simply leave it with you this morning this way. Can God trust you? Are we the kind of people that he can say, my most important possession is my kingdom, and I'm giving it to you to build because I trust you? Would you join me in prayer as we close? Father, what a marvelous example John is to us of someone that Jesus trusted explicitly.